This is The Coaching Inn, a podcast from 3D Coaching.
Hi, it's Sue Blanche from 3D Coaching. I'm excited to be speaking this afternoon with Claire Pedrick from 3D Coaching. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you so much. I am very pleased to be in your podcast.
It's very exciting. Claire, can you just do a very short, here's me, Claire Pedrick, just in case people don't know you.
So I'm a human being and I'm a coach and I'm a friend and a mum and a walker and all sorts of things. And I guess it's useful for people to know that I started 3D coaching in the 90s. And I've got about 11,000 coaching hours and I love it.
Yes, you really do. And that's very inspirational for all of us that work with you and see you work. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
So this afternoon, we thought it might be useful to talk in this podcast about stokers, Claire. That's what we thought.
Yes, the thing that 3D coaching is becoming known for.
It's very exciting. So yes, something that 3D coaching is becoming very well known for. What would be useful to start the conversation about stokers?
Well, maybe if you don't know, if you're listening and you don't know what stokers is, maybe we should say what it is and then go backwards and say, where did it come from?
Cool.
So stokers is a set of questions, which I'll perhaps talk about later, which help frame a conversation, which mean that you get to the heart of the matter early in a conversation and get some really good work done. And it's an easy way of achieving the thing that is coaching, which is to have a conversation where somebody feels heard and where they get new insights into their own stuff. And it's easy to remember, which is why people like it. We supply it on little cards so they can stash it in their wallet and use it all over the place.
So that being the case, what, for those people who haven't seen the cards, tell me what stokers is. What's are those letters for?
So it stands for, S is subject. So it's a version of what should we be thinking about together today? T is for time. Must come second, not first. In the time we have, which bit of that do we need to be thinking about? And what that does is it begins to make the question the right size for the conversation. And the more you do that, the easier it is. So each question makes the conversation easier. So subject is the first one, time is the second. The third one is outcome. What would you like to be different by the end of this conversation? Not ever in the whole of the history of humankind. K is how will you know we've done that? Because of course, if I'm the facilitator of the conversation, I have no idea how you'll know that it's been useful. R is a kind of role question. How should we do this? And then S is where should we start?
Okay, so thank you for that description of what stokers stands for, what the headings are. And is there anything that needs to be said about, because it's quite a weird word, right, stokers?
It is a weird word, and maybe I should tell you where it came from. And then the amazing thing that happened to me after the word had arrived, because it's such a weird story. So I've been thinking for many years about how to have more transformational conversations. So by transformational, I mean where people get that ping and really get an insight. And there's a real difference in the quality of conversations that we experience or that we give between transactional, where you kind of come up with a list but not really deep insights, and transformational, where you get this ka-ching kind of thing going on. So I then read a book by Peter Senge and a bunch of his friends called Presence, and when I found it the other day, it's really funny, I only ever got to page like 20 where it had this thing, and it changed my life and I never have read the rest of the book, which I must go back and read. But he said that in chemistry, in science, if you want transformation to happen, you put your chemicals in a container and apply a catalyst and it's changed forever. A better version of that is baking, where you put together the ingredients for cooking in a container, you mix them up, you put the bread or the cake in the oven, and you can't unmake it. So it is transformed. So I've been playing around with that, and then the ICF core competencies of coaching, particularly around what they call establishing the coaching agreement, which also seem to be creating a container for a conversation. So a number of things. One was knowing that the container was going to improve the likelihood of transformation. The second thing being, when you then look at the ICF competencies, you can see that you could use them to create a container. And then just delivering training and learning every single time, as you well know, Sue, every time we deliver, we learn something new. Mm-hmm. And every time we learn something new, we take something out of what we deliver, don't we? So it's even more simple. And so I've been training this for a while, as had you and other colleagues. And we used to demonstrate coaching, do you remember? Mm. And then we used to say to people, so what were the questions that you heard that helped form the beginning of the conversation? And we used to write them down, didn't we, on the flip chart?
Yep.
In the random order that they came up from the group. So one day I was in an organization and there was a guy in the group called Adrian Hawthorne, and he has given me permission to use his name. And Adrian said, if you don't give me a word to remember these questions, I won't be able to remember them. And on that particular day, I'd written them in that order: subject, time, outcome. How will you know? Role, where will you start? And in fact, maybe how will you know? I think how will you know was there. And anyway, he came up with the word Stokers. And he said that was how he was going to remember. So the following week, I was delivering the same training somewhere else. And I said, so if you want to remember this, Stokers is a great word that will help you remember. And one of the people in the room, kind of his mouth fell open and he went, that's amazing. And I'm thinking, it's a word. And I said, so what makes it amazing? And he said, well, you know what a stoker is? And I'm going, no. And he said, the stoker is the person on the back of a tandem. So a tandem is a bicycle for two people. And he was a tandem cyclist. And he says the person on the front is called the captain. So they decide which way to go and they have control, really. But the stoker, you can't start a tandem without the stoker putting in effort. Mm-hmm. And you can't go up a hill without the stoker putting in oomph, as it were, mm-hmm. energy. Mm-hmm. And really, and what a great definition of coaching.
Yes.
And also, what a great insight into why conversations go wrong mm. when the person who is perceived to have power takes power over the person whose journey it is, and it all goes a bit wonky. And I mean, you can just keep building on the image, can't you? Because I haven't ridden a tandem, and I will. It is my mission in life now that I will cycle on a tandem one day. But I can only just imagine if you interfere too much from the back, it probably does cut you up quite significantly.
Yes, absolutely.
And rocks the bike. So somebody's insistence that they had a way of remembering turned into a word that then turned into such a deep insight of what coaching is. I mean, it's just extraordinary. And when you teach, we teach this, as you know, around the globe and people get it. They go, oh, yeah. And then they can also remember the questions. So it's so it's great.
It's a win-win. And I guess there's something which is so fascinating, isn't there, about that this is such a transformational way of enabling the thinker to do the thinking that they need to help them get set off in the right direction. So it's transformational, which sounds like it should be grand and difficult and complicated and all of the rest of it, but actually it's really simple.
Yeah, and basically what it means is don't start doing the work until you know what you're doing.
Mm.
And the Stoker's questions will help you work out what you're doing, and they'll help you get to the heart of the matter before you start doing anything. And you know, the amazing thing is you can use it in all kinds of conversations that aren't coaching. You can use it in mentoring, you can use it in managing, you can use it all over the place. And it is a bit gobsmacking.
Yes, indeed. It is gobsmacking, isn't it? I mean, I think the thing about the ping, which is so wonderful, that's the word you use, the ping, is that often coaches that we meet have some anxiety, don't they, about performance and being able to be brilliant and so on. And what this does is it puts the control in the place that it needs to be, and the power in the place that it needs to be, and the coach doesn't need to worry about that anymore, because they do what they need to do, don't they?
Yeah, and it also means that you don't get lost in the stuff.
Mm.
Because you've dug quite deep, they've dug quite deep before you start doing the work.
Mm.
So there's a lot less faffing about. You can really get to the point, and people really like it. So my experience of training it over many, many years now is that people who are facilitating the conversation don't like it because they think they're weird questions. And people who are receiving the questions love them because they help them really distill what is the thing that I need to be thinking about. It's extraordinary. And it just came from somebody going, help me remember.
Yes. So out of quite a simple start, really, I guess.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
So I wonder, you've talked a bit about a container, and you've talked about the transformational nature of all of this. I'm wondering about the set of questions themselves. Is there anything that we could talk about in relation to the questions?
I think the order of the questions we have discovered matters a lot.
Mm.
And again, that was discovered accidentally. So it's very common in conversations where the person who seems to have more power than the other says, I say to you, Sue, we have an hour. What would you like to think about? And you say, managing my business through coronavirus. And I go, it's very difficult, isn't it? And suddenly we started doing the work and we're not clear what we're doing. So if you ask the time question second, and I say, what would you like to think about? And you say, how to manage my business through coronavirus. And I go, so in the 2 minutes we have, what's the heart of our question? You start doing the work. So there's something for me about those questions that start the thinker thinking.
Mm.
Before you start doing the work. And every single question takes the pressure off the facilitator of the conversation. And the more we are losing pressure, the more effective we are at doing all the other things that we need to do to make the conversation work well. So to really observe and to notice and to listen. Coaching is about partnership, and those questions co-create the partnership and make it absolutely clear, I'm not taking you anywhere until we've worked out what are we doing, how are we going to do it, and how are we going to know we've done it. And that means that the coach needs to not dive in, because it's really tempting when you're talking to somebody, if they say something interesting or worrying, to start digging into it. And I think one of the skills of great coaching is that even though they might choose to dive before you're clear what you're doing, that's okay, but you don't dive until you're clear what you're diving into.
It's quite freeing, actually, isn't it?
It's a terrible business model.
Well, yeah.
Because it means you don't have really long conversations. But yes. then it's a really, you know, but it means that your conversations are more likely to be transformational. Because most coaching in the end falls over the thing that you really need to be doing and the real question. But this helps you work out, not always absolutely, but more what the real question is before you start doing it. Yeah. And which question do you think stumps people and they don't know what to say?
I wonder if it's the question about how will I know?
It isn't actually. Although sometimes people don't, I mean, sometimes people will not know the answer to any of those questions. And that doesn't matter. We don't have to say, well, we're going to stay here until you've given me a good answer. It doesn't matter if they don't know, because when we start, we know that we don't know what we're doing. And that's a co-created agreement. No, the one that really floors them is, where should we start? And often what happens is people will go, oh, start. No, let's not start there. So what it does is it enables them to go inside and locate where a good beginning is. And actually, it's a good beginning to this conversation. And the one place that is a terrible place to start is the very beginning. Maria might have said that in The Sound of Music, but it's not in a conversation a very good place to start at all, the beginning.
It's a fascinating thing as well, actually, isn't it? Because when you do ask that question, my experience says that they never start where I would have started. And it's such a great thing to recognise as the facilitator of the conversation, that if I'd gone with my great intent, then we would have gone in the wrong direction.
Exactly. And that's something that I've just clocked, that I hadn't really articulated that clearly before. So those questions, the Stoker's questions, subject, time, outcome, how will you know, how should we do it, where should we start, they are future focused, because they are all about moving forwards. And often in conversations people start going backwards. So they're future focused. They're also optimistic, because if I say to you, what would you like to be different by the end of this conversation? What I'm actually doing is saying to you, because something can be. And of course, what we know is once people start moving forward, they keep moving forward. So it's extraordinary. It's really extraordinary. So future focused, hopeful and optimistic.
And sometimes the people that we work with really didn't think there was a way forward.
Exactly.
So it's great to be able to give them that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So my question, which was the how will I know, what sorts of answers come out of that when you ask that question?
Can I come at that from a tangent?
Mm.
So it's a great question, because I never know how you'll know, because how I might know might be different. So sometimes people say, I'll know because I'll have a really clear plan.
Right.
Somebody else says, I'll know because I'll just have a different sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the amazing lady who said, I'll know it in my knower. Now, she was so definite about that, I can remember thinking to myself, well, she really knows. And then about halfway through, I said, how's your knower? And she said, oh, it's about half full. And I said, so are we moving to full or empty, or is half full enough? She went, no, we're moving to full and it's half full. So I said, so what do we need to do in the time we have left to make it completely full? And she told me, and I know it's not magic at all, because it's just not magic, but it stops us doing the things we normally do in conversations, which is to try and have too much control. So it's about partnership and it's about co-creation. And none of us know how to have a useful conversation with somebody else, ever. Even if the conversation we had yesterday and the day before was useful. We still don't know how to have this conversation in this time and this place today.
Yeah.
Unless we ask.
Mm. And you say it's not magic, but there's something really transformational and magic about allowing people to make those their own decisions. It's wonderful.
It's amazing.
Yes, but yes, absolutely.
We should perhaps do another one of these about power and partnership. Yeah. I think I think many conversations I listen to, you hear the person who is perceived to have more power pulling the other person through the conversation. And although technically, if you wrote down what they were saying, you might say it was a great conversation. Actually, what you hear, if you listen to the thinker thinking, makes you know that it isn't fully partnership. So if anyone is listening who does any one-to-one, actually, what I really would encourage you to do, if you want to be better at doing one-to-ones, whatever they are, is try and get permission from somebody to record a conversation that you have with them and then listen back to it, but don't listen to yourself. What you do is irrelevant. Listen to how they respond to what you say and do. So only listen to them and you'll learn a lot, believe me. a lot.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's a really excellent challenge, I think, that you've set everybody. I think
it's scary, but we have fantasies about how good we are at one-to-ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we never get feedback, because if they liked it, they tell us that, but that doesn't mean it was useful.
Yeah.
And if they didn't like it, they tell somebody else.
Mm.
So if the purpose of a conversation is to serve the needs of the other person, we are not going to know whether we are good at that unless we really notice how they respond or not.
Yeah. And noticing in the moment is good, but actually listening back really gives you a real sense when you don't have to do anything. You just listen. Yeah. Good. Is there anything else that you'd like to say about stokers while we're talking now?
You know me, I can talk about it endlessly forever.
That's true.
I think I'll... So stokers are the questions that create this container. And the container that we draw, the deep and meaningful container that we draw, that creates transformational coaching, is basically an elongated hexagon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a kind of less than sign that opens it up, and then an equals, and then a greater than sign that ends it. And using questions to create that container really enables us to have the transformational conversations, because the boundaries are there. There's a Chinese proverb that says the banks of the Yangtze give it depth, drive and direction. So the stoker's questions are basically putting the banks, the edges in to the conversation that give it the depth and the drive and the direction that we all fantasize about and kind of hope to get. But I think what's really interesting about that container and about those questions is that you can use them in all kinds of things that aren't coaching. So this morning I was having a conversation with somebody about using this structure in performance management. And we were talking about how performance management can often be push. So I'm performance managing you, Sue, and you need to do these things. Whereas if you use the container to frame it and you say to the person, so let's imagine it's 6 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing that we're talking about is working really well for you, and it's working really well for me, and it's working really well for the organization. Let's think about the things that we need to be putting in place and thinking about in order for that to be true.
Yeah.
So that's another way of using the same thing. Mm. And what we were talking about in this conversation this morning, where she went, oh, yes, is that actually what you're saying there is you're saying, I believe you can do this.
Yeah.
Whereas performance management often sounds like, if you don't do this, then.
Yeah.
And suddenly we're going to, well, let's imagine you've done it. What is it that needs to happen?
Yeah.
So it's all about perception, isn't it? And perspective, I think.
And so that piece about being so useful in all sorts of conversations to keep us moving in the right direction and to enable perception.
Yeah. Definitely.
Cool.
So if people want to find out more about it,
yes,
take a look on the website and just search for Stokers. There are some blog posts about it. It is the kind of framework for the book. The book's coming out in December 2020, and it's called Simplifying Coaching by Claire Pedrick. The publisher is Open University Press.
Yep.
And you can pre-order it in the UK already on Amazon and at Waterstones.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be on Amazon globally. They haven't done that yet. And then if people want to do more work on it, join us for some of our coaching development stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we do little things and we do middle-sized things and we do big things. And it's all about working more simply and more deeply. And you can do all your coach training with us. Or if you're a really experienced coach and trained elsewhere, that's excellent. Just come and do a little bit of tweaking with us and that will make you more efficient, more effective in the way you do your work.
Wonderful. And releasing people to do their own thinking. How about that?
Honestly, every time I do it, and particularly when I train people to do it and they're not really convinced, and you see transformation happen, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah.
It really is. Yes. Good. Well, thank you very much, Claire, for
pleasure
describing how Stokers came about, what it is, and also where people can do a bit more thinking about it and putting it into practice. So that's wonderful. Thank you very much for spending time with me this afternoon.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me. And the email address to get in contact with us is info@3dcoaching.com.
You've been listening to The Coaching Inn. Find out more about us at www.3dcoaching.com/b-developed.